Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I started last week on this message in Romans chapter 4, if you want to turn in your Bibles, Romans 4, concerning this subject, a primer on grace. And this is part two. Now, what I have in mind to do is to go through Romans chapter 4. And I read these first two verses last week, which says in Romans 4 and verse 1, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory." He has, that word glory means to boast, means to something you have confidence in. And so if Abraham were justified by his works, he'd have room to boast in himself, to glory in himself, to have confidence in himself. But he says in verse 2, "but not before God." That's not the way God does it. And so I was backing up here to Romans chapter 3 to set this up. Paul is writing to the church of Rome, made up of believers, both Jew and Gentile. And so he comes in to Abraham, whom the Jews boasted in. They say, we're Abraham's seed. But he's showing how God, he had been talking about how God justifies sinners. And what is it to be justified? Well, last week I brought up this point. To be justified is to be forgiven of all my sins on a just ground. And the only just ground that God forgives sin, upon which God forgives sin, is the blood of Jesus Christ, the death of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, my good works cannot cancel out my sins. My repentance, my faith, my believing, and my repenting, my tears of remorse, my reformations of character and conduct cannot wash away my sins. There's only one thing that can wash away my sins. That is, pay the debt. And that's the blood of Christ. Now, blood means his death. He died for the sins of his sheep. Christ Jesus died to save sinners. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But now to be justified also means to be declared righteous in God's sight. And over here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul had brought a conclusion down that brings us all in guilty and deserving of condemnation before God because we're sinners and we cannot work our way out of it. We cannot work enough to make ourselves righteous. And righteousness is the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. And so he says in verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight." You cannot be forgiven. You cannot be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law," that is without our works, "is manifested, made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets," in the Old Testament. See, this gospel of salvation by grace, this primer on grace, is just as clear in the Old Testament as it is the New. And he says in verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith," or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. If you have a translation that says that that's faith in Christ, it's wrong. This is talking about what Christ did to accomplish the righteousness of God, forgiveness of sins, and righteousness for his people, which God has imputed, charged, accounted to his people. And if God has done that for me and for you, he says it here. He says, It's unto all, that's preached to everyone, and upon all them that believe. And so, for there's no difference. How do I know if I'm justified in God's sight? How do I know that I'm forgiven of all my sins based upon the blood of Christ? How do I know that I'm righteous in God's sight, not by my works, but in Christ Jesus? How do I know that? The evidence of that is that God brings His people to believe in Christ. Now, it's not our believing that washes away our sins. It's not our believing that makes us righteous. It's Christ by the grace of God. See, that's what this is about. Ephesians 2:8, I quote it all the time, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, not on the basis of faith, not because of faith, not applied by faith." It's applied in our minds and our consciences, but it's already been applied by God through the doctrine of imputation. That's God charging it, accounting it to us. "So for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves." That faith is not of yourselves. Somebody said, well, that refers back to salvation, not faith. Faith is part of salvation. And the whole of salvation is not of yourself or not of myself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship," God's workmanship. We're not self-made people. "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works," not because of or based on good works, but unto good works, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." This is the foreordination of God that His people would walk by faith in Christ. Well, verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now that tells us the reality of our sinfulness and depravity. And what it means is this: we all, no matter how good we try to be. Now let me say this. Let me put it in the right context for us to understand this. Every one of us should try to be the best person we can be. In every way. Whatever role we're playing, whether it's a husband or a wife, a father or a mother, a friend, a worker on our jobs, a boss, an employee, in whatever capacity that we find ourselves in, we should willingly, happily do the best we can do. But when you read this passage, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," it tells us this, that no matter how good we try to be, we still fall short of the perfection of righteousness that God requires, but that can only be found in Christ, His glorious person, His finished work. So that leaves us with no hope of salvation. The best of us, the worst of us, it leaves us with no hope of salvation, but by God's grace through the blood and righteousness of Christ. The Bible says man at his best state is altogether vanity. And so it says in verse 24, "being justified," forgiven, "declared righteous, freely, without a cause, unconditionally, by God's grace," by His grace now. And what is that grace based upon? What puts that grace in action? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to God's justice, through faith in His blood," not faith in your faith now, as if I made the difference. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I didn't make the difference. God did. "And it's through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." That's the Old Testament saints. They're saved on the same, by the same grace in which we're saved, through the forbearance of God. And that is, God didn't totally destroy them, but He saved them by promise based upon the fact that Christ was sure to come in time and die for their sins. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So the faith here is necessary, but not as a cause, not as a ground. It's necessary as an evidence, an instrument by which God unites us spiritually to Christ. Now, go, and you know, one of the things that the apostle had to combat, John, Peter, Paul, all of them, was unbelieving Jews who claimed to believe in Christ, who claimed to be Christian, but wanted to bring believers under the law. And they wanted to get believing men circumcised in order to be saved. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he made this statement. He said, God forbid, Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, except in one thing, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that establishes my relationship with the world, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I look upon this world as being cursed. And I do. If you're a believer, you do. This world in sin is cursed of God. That's why Christ is going to come again. He who died, was buried, and arose again the third day, he's coming back. To do what? To destroy this world and make it anew, a new heavens and a new earth. And so Paul says, because I glory only in Christ, I boast and have confidence only in Christ, the world looks at me as a cursed man. I say there's one way of salvation. The world says there's many ways. I say that men and women cannot make themselves righteous by their works. The world says otherwise. The world is cursed, and they look at me as being cursed. And then in verse 15, he says, when he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And then he says, for in Christ Jesus, circumcision avails nothing. The only thing that matters, doesn't matter whether you're physically circumcised or not. What matters, are you a new creation in Christ? Have you been born again by the Spirit to look to Christ alone? And so Paul, when he combats these unbelieving Jews who tried to bring believers under the law, which in the book of Galatians he says was a denial of Christ. He said, if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What does he mean by that? He means if you think circumcision contributes to your righteousness before God, if you think circumcision makes you acceptable with God, you're denying Christ, because it's the righteousness of Christ alone, the blood of Christ alone, which makes a sinner accepted with God. And so that's why Christ came. He says in Galatians 2:21, if righteousness come by the law, that is your works of the law, Christ died in vain. So you understand that. So what he does here, he turns to Abraham as the example. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? Now why does he pick out Abraham? Well, I mentioned last week how Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And it's not because we're saved by Abraham, or it's not because we're saved because we follow Abraham's example. But Abraham is the prime example. He's the prototype, you might say, of how God saves sinners and how God justifies the ungodly. And Abraham was a sinner saved by grace. And so sometimes those who believe, Jew and Gentile, are called the seed of Abraham in a spiritual sense, because we're saved the same way that Abraham was saved, by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but the unbelieving Jews boasted basically in three things. Number one was their physical connection with Abraham. They would say in John chapter 8, they said, we're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's children. And Christ told them, he said, well, you're Abraham's children physically, but not spiritually. You don't do the works of Abraham. Abraham believed on the Lord. That's a gift of God. That's God's grace. He said, down in John 8, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. The second thing the Jews boasted in was their physical circumcision, the circumcision of the males who represented the whole family. And the scripture says, if you're circumcised for that reason, thinking that it's going to save you or make you more saved or make you more righteous before God, Christ will profit you nothing. And then the third thing they boasted in was they claimed to keep the law of Moses. And they didn't keep the law of Moses. Nobody does. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. Remember we read that, Romans 3:20. You see, they perverted the law. And Romans 9 tells us that the reason they did not attain righteousness is because they sought it by works of the law and not by faith in Christ. I want righteousness. How am I going to get righteousness? Look to Christ. He's my righteousness. Jeremiah called him the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu is the way of putting that. Well, so Paul says, what shall we say? Verse 1, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found. How was Abraham saved? He said, verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If you think that your salvation was conditioned on you, what you're believing and repenting, you're believing and repenting and persevering. Now, the reason I say that, there are some people who claim to be saved by grace and they believe once saved, always saved, but they're fooled because they believe that their salvation was conditioned on what they did. In other words, they believe that Christ died for everybody, even those who perish eternally. And because they didn't do what was right, they didn't believe or they didn't act right. And that's salvation conditioned on sinners. That's not grace. That's a cleverly disguised system of works. There are others who believe that you're saved, your salvation is conditioned on your faith and your repentance and your perseverance, like denominations who say you can be saved one day and then lost because of some great sin or act of sinning. And that's not grace. That's a false system of works, a cleverly disguised system of works. Salvation was and is conditioned on Christ and on Him alone, and He fulfilled all those conditions, all the requirements, all the stipulations to ensure the salvation of every sinner for whom He died on that cross. They're called His church. He redeemed His church. The word church means called out ones. That's who Christ died for, those who are called out of the world and into the family of God by God-given faith, by the Holy Spirit's work. And so they're called His church. They're called His brethren. They're called His people. They're called His sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me. No one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. They're called all that the Father giveth him, has given him. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's the way he does it. They're called His people, His church, His sheep, His brethren. They're also called the seed of Abraham in a spiritual sense. Now, I'm a Gentile. As far as I know, I don't have any Jewish blood in me. Wouldn't matter if I did. Because the scripture, look back at Romans chapter 2. What we're talking about is spiritual Israel, spiritual Jews. Romans 2 and verse 28. It says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Now that word Jew is a shortened form of Judah, which means praise. That's what Judah means, praise. the name Judah. And those who are Jews, who praise God, all right, you're not one which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, verse 29, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. He's talking about the new birth there. The spiritual circumcision of the heart is the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. You must be born again. Where he cuts away the filth of the flesh, that is our confidence in the flesh, and drives us to Christ in God-given faith. Well, what did Abraham? Go back to chapter 4. If Abraham were justified by the works, he hath whereof to glory, to boast, but not before God. And then he comes in verse 3, he says, for what saith the Scripture? Now, what does God's Word, the Bible, say on this subject? Well, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For righteousness. And listen to verse 4. Now, I'm going to come back to that. Now, to him that worketh, working for salvation, is the reward of salvation, the reward of eternal life, all the blessings and benefits. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned, not accounted of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you're working for salvation and you think you've got it, you think God was indebted to you and gave you what you earned. And then he says in verse 5, but to him that worketh not. Now he's talking about working not for salvation. Believers have works. We saw that when I quoted Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But the good works are not what saves us. They're not what makes us righteous. And they're not even what earns our reward. God's never indebted to us. We're always indebted to him, a debt of love. By nature, as we fell in Adam, we owed a debt to his law and justice that we could not pay. But his elect, their debt was transferred to Christ. It was imputed to him. He took that account upon himself. So he says, but to him, verse 5, that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth who? The ungodly. That's who God justifies. That's what this primer on grace is all about. What is grace and who is it toward? It's towards the ungodly. In other words, an ungodly person cannot do anything to save himself. And then it says, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, a lot of preachers will go to verses like this. You know, verse 3. Abraham believed God and it was counted. That means it was imputed. That word imputed means to charge, lay to the account, reckon. It was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Well, what was counted to Abraham? Well, his belief. Now, that's what a lot of preachers will tell you. Abraham believed God. But see, that's based upon a real terrible understanding of this word faith. This word faith, one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. It's also one of the misunderstood blessings. You see, nobody's going to be saved without faith, without believing in Christ. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so, but you got to understand biblical faith. And Paul spoke of that back in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, you can't say, if you don't believe, you can't say the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for you. How do we know the Holy Spirit has empowered the preaching of the gospel to a particular person's salvation? Well, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, to the Jew first and the Greek also. Greek there was just a way of talking about Gentiles because it was a Greco-Roman world. And then in verse 17 of Romans 1, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Now, what is the righteousness of God? It's the entire merit, value, worthiness of what Christ in the glory of his person as God manifest in the flesh and in the power of his finished work to die for the sins of his people, be buried and raised again the third day. How do we know his death put away the sins of his sheep so that they cannot be condemned? He came out of that grave. He arose from the dead. He's ascended unto the Father and now ever lives to make intercession for his people. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. And so, all of this showing that this word faith, as Paul wrote in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified shall live by faith. So you have the word faith there three times. It's the same word. But what does it mean? From faith to faith. Well, from faith means faith as the doctrine of Christ, the body of truth that's revealed in the gospel concerning who God is and the glory of God, that he's a just God, he's a righteous God, he's a holy God. And that he's so just and righteous that he's too pure to accept and receive and fellowship with sin, and therefore he must put it away. We'll pick up there next week, and I hope you'll join us for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.